subscriber donation, you get the shaft. Here's Chief Belcher's letter to me on that issue, also dated March 2nd. The investigation into your complaint filed with the Santa Cruz Police Department has been concluded. In reading your complaint against the officer, I see that this was based on an incident that occurred out of your presence on October 18, 1998 on Pacific Avenue. In this incident, the officer approached two people who were working at a table that was displaying T-shirts for a, quote, minimum donation of $5. The officer conducted his investigation by asking those two persons if the shirts were truly for an unspecified donated amount. He was told the set price was a minimum donation of $5. The officer had tape recorded this conversation, which was produced as evidence in this matter only after the two persons at the table realized that they were going to be issued a citation for a municipal code ordinance that they changed their price for the T-shirts. These two persons were subsequently issued a citation for municipal code ordinance section 5.42.020. The investigation was completed only after two persons cited did not respond to letters sent to them to contact the police department for interviews. Neither of those persons filed any independent citizen's complaint regarding their contact with the officer. In reviewing the ordinance, it appears the citations issued were valid, as the recipients did not have a permit. Further investigation found no exceptions for the activity described in Municipal Code 5.42.020. The complaint is exonerated. In other words, you need a license to sell T-shirts, but not Girl Scout cookies. Interesting. It's sort of similar to the idea that you can get a sleeping ban ticket if you're a homeless person that sleeps in a church that the police don't like, which is what the police were doing back in 1988 and again as recently as 1996. But the entire Interface Satellite Shelter program, which sleeps people on the floors of churches that are not domiciles, does so in violation of the sleeping ban, but they don't get tickets. So it's a cop's world, folks. That's the bottom line here. That's what we're learning here in Santa Cruz, and now we have to learn how to change it. The final letter I got from Police Chief Steve Belcher concerned an incident about a man named Lloyd Lawrence, an elderly fellow with disabled plates on his van, which he lives in. He is also a man with I believe it's a cancer condition that requires catheting himself. He was in the process of catheting himself when he was approached by a police officer, banged on his van as he was parked, I guess, on the west side near, I think it was up near Lighthouse Field. He was frightened. He came out of his van. He explained to the officer what he was doing. It was Officer Northrop. Northrop was very rude and hostile, according to Lloyd Lawrence. He had actually dented his van. I was shown the dent. I showed the dent to a sergeant. With Sergeant Warner, I showed the dent to. Lloyd Lawrence subsequently put a notice up on his van that had a picture of a catheter, gave a description of the event, and told the public what had happened. I filed a complaint on his behalf. The following letter came back from Chief Belcher. The investigation into your complaint filed with the Santa Cruz Police Department has been concluded. In reading your complaint against the officer, I found it is based upon an incident of illegal camping that was investigated by a Santa Cruz police officer. The officer saw a mini motorhome parked on Westcliff Drive and suspected someone was camping inside. It was 6:49 a.m. By camping, of course, we mean sleeping. No one was in the driver's cab and no lights were on inside of the living quarters. It took some time for the occupant to answer the officer who was at the door, even though he denied being asleep. All these factors led the officer to believe that a violation of the city's ordinance was occurring. Westcliff Drive is an area where people frequently camp in their vehicles, generating complaints of this activity being made to the police department. The officer was assigned to this area and was aware of these prior citizens' complaints and is responsible for taking action on identified problems within his beat. The officer issued a citation to the occupant of the motorhome. I want to add that earlier in the evening, according to Lloyd Lawrence, Lloyd Lawrence's son was standing with Lloyd Lawrence and made a comment about Northrop strutting down the avenue. Northrop saw him, looked at him, there was an interchange between them. Northrop, according to Lawrence, noted the van they were standing in front of, and then later came after him that night when he was parked sleeping. None of the other vans, according to Lloyd Lawrence, were disturbed, and there were also vans parked nearby. Again, I am not a first-hand witness to these facts. This is what he reported to me way back in September. Continuing with Chief Belcher's letter, there is no evidence to validate the allegation of damage to the mini motorhome. In fact, we took a picture of the damage, and so did Sergeant Warner. He took a picture. The occupant did not respond to requests for an interview, nor were we able to view the damage to the motorhome that you believe was caused by the officer. As I said, there were pictures taken, and Officer Sergeant Warner was a witness to the condition of the motorhome. There are no independent witnesses to this incident. The investigation failed to show that the officer had acted inappropriately or violated departmental policy. The officer was not aware of the person's medical status until appearing in court. After he was given this information, the officer asked the court to dismiss the citation in the interest of justice. That's not true. According to Lloyd Lawrence, he identified his medical status, showed him the papers involved, showed the officer the papers involved, and also showed him his disabled license plate, for God's sake. Moving right ahead. The court approved the officer's request. As a result of all the evidence in this matter, I have concluded that a disposition of exonerated is appropriate regarding the camping citation and a finding of unfounded for the allegation of damage to the motorhome. Signed, Stephen Belcher, Chief of Police. Well, we've reached, I think, the end of the hour, though the next talk show host, I don't know if she's here or not. If she's not, we'll take a little extra time to first give you a bit of music, and after that, to continue with more interesting stuff.
What's I even read it? When it comes to people's parking, who's got bombs, forget it.
Carol Denny, Failure to Disperse, I'm a UC Cop, from her album, and it's still available. Give a call to 423-HUFF, by the way, if you want any information on where to get some of these song cuts. Phone numbers that we may have given you in the last 2.5 hours of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, or if you just have stuff you want to put on the air yourself, if you want me to put stuff on the air, if you want to be on this show, if you got something you want to say, and you, let's say, don't have time, conflicts with your schedule to come on Sundays from 11 to 1:30 or on Thursdays from 6 to 8, we can do a taped interview. We have a little extra time. My problem is I am also hurried because I have a protest to get to. That's a protest I hope many of you will show up at. It is happening today at New Leaf Market. It concerns the sleeping ban, the law that makes it criminal for homeless people to sleep at night in Santa Cruz, the law that is unfortunately not being changed by the Santa Cruz City Council. And needs very, very badly to be changed. Well, we need your help down there. We need your help in getting together to do the kind of phone calling we need to do. And luckily, my relief has come, so I am going to hope you'll tune in on Thursday, 6 to 8, at Bathrop Spears Broadsides here at 96.3. I hope tomorrow you'll either come to the CPRB meeting, the Police Review Board, down at City Hall at 5:30, or Marty Wormhout's Java Junction County meeting. That's out at Seabright and East Cliff, or Chris Crone's meeting. I believe it's 7 o'clock at the Cafe Pergolesi, but I could be wrong on the time. It could be 5:30. Call to confirm tomorrow at 423-HUFF. And then, of course, City Council, 7 o'clock on Tuesday. It's not the sleeping ban, but you can talk about the sleeping ban during oral communications. And if you want to be with me when I confront the county, that's going to be Tuesday at 9 o'clock on the county building, day after tomorrow, fifth floor of the county building. Thanks for being with me today on Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Join me again.
The apple's ripe upon the bough, the orange on the tree.
The hands were black that picked the fruit for you, but not for me.
Diamonds shining in the rock, gleaming white and blue.
10 hours a day in the diamond mines for me, but not for you.
A sea of grass and a mountain ranges beckoning the free.
A place to walk with head held high for you, but not for me.
The burning sun of Africa, the sky that's always blue.
Apartheid and the past laws for me, but not for you.
A big land, a rich land, stretched from sea to sea.
And all the riches of the earth for you, but not for me.
A big land, a gracious land, a land where old meets new.
The bullets fired at Sharpeville were for me, but not for you. You've planted seeds of fear and hate in all who would be free. At harvest time, the fruit will be for you, and not for me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the multinational corporations and to the profit for which they stand, one interlocking directorate under no government, indivisible, with monopoly and cheap labor for all.
Why do you warships sail on my water? Why do your death bombs fall from my sky? Why do you burn my farm and my town down? I've got to know, friend, I've got to know why. What makes your ships haul death to my people? Natural blockbusters, big cannons and guns. Why can't your ship bring food and some clothing? I've got to know, yes, I've got to know why. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know, friend. Hungry lips ask me wherever I go. Comrade,
lads and friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know what good comrades and friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know. You keep me in jail, you lock me in prison. Your hospital's jammed in your crazy house full. What made your cop hurt my unarmed peace worker? I've got to know, yes, I've got to know why. My friends are dying from AIDS and from cancer. The big money goes where your death missiles fly. Built by good workers, paid by war taxes. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know why. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know, friend. Hungry lips ask me wherever I go. I'm missing friends all falling around me. I've got to know, yes, I've got to know.
I came across a book recently called The Art and Politics of College Teaching. Any of you ever hear of it? No. I'm not surprised. But it's a kind of Machiavellian guide to people who want to teach in college. And it has sort of organized in the form of concerns. And concern number 9, I skipped the first 8 for your benefit.